More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, Simon of Cyrene. Are you struggling to help someone you care about carry their cross? Let us help ease your burden. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Simon of Cyrene. You know, we are in Holy Week, and so we thought today we'd take a look at those times when we are trying to help someone carry their cross, whether that's helping someone who's struggling personally, struggling with an addiction, struggling to help an elderly parent who is infirm or unwell in some way. You know, we are called and privileged as Christians to use our gifts, our time, our treasure, our talent, our very selves, to try to be a blessing to others. But sometimes it doesn't go as straightforward as we were hoping, right? In fact, most times, let's face it. And being helpful to others can be complicated. You know, sometimes our efforts don't work. Sometimes they blow up. Sometimes they're going fine for the other person, but they're burning us out and causing us to feel resentful and like everything's on us.
Sometimes they don't go well because of the other person getting stuck in their comfort zone or maybe even their patterns of sin. Other times it's on us because we deliver it badly, or maybe it wasn't really ours to carry in the first place. I mean, Simon of Cyrene was pressed into service to carry Jesus's cross, to get him to the hill to be crucified. It was very specific. But many times we, in our compassion, in our sense of Christian morality or justice,
duty,
or whatever that is, duty, we take something on. And the Holy Spirit really isn't asking us to be the ones to take that on. And so it doesn't quite work out the way we hope, and sometimes it makes a bigger mess.
Or take it on the way we're taking it on, or
True.
Be the only ones to take it on. So that's what we're talking about today. You know, those times where we, you know, with all good intention, try to be there for someone we care about, and it's just not working, either for them or for us. Let's talk about how we can be helpful in ways that are effective and don't burn us out. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
And as you mentioned, Greg, because we are leading into the Triduum, we're in Holy Week now, this can often be a more intense time for that, because we as Christians are maybe more reflective of our faith, trying to live out our faith, rejoicing in our faith as we see people on Easter Sunday. And that heightenedness makes us want to pass that on to other people, to spread the good news, to help them live in joy. Maybe those are people we're just seeing during the week. Maybe those are people who are going to be around an Easter table with us. But it has a tendency to ramp us up and want to be our best selves and help other people be our best selves. Do you have people that you know, maybe relatives, friends, that you're going to be seeing over the next week, over the holiday, and you're thinking, oh, this is our chance to really share the gospel with them or to help them live a better life or find more joy. It's our one shot. Well, that can often be confusing on how to do that or if we should do it at all. Are you having a hard time knowing how to help someone you care about? Are your efforts to be helpful not working out? making things worse for your relationship, for them, for you? Do you feel like you're carrying too much of the burden and you're starting to burn out? Let's explore ways to help other people that are both effective and don't wear you down.
877-573-7825. Of course, if you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, you can still send your questions in. That address is questions@moretoliferadio.com. That's question, that's with the number two, questions@moretoliferadio.com. We love hearing your voice and taking your questions live so we can ask those follow-up questions and tailor our responses to your specific circumstances. So give us a call if you can, 877-573-7825, and let us help you help the people you care about carry their cross on our show today titled Simon of Cyrene. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And if you're not sure what that is, or for that matter, why you should care, St. John Paul gave a series of reflections while he was Pope over the course of about 5 years that looked at how we can discern God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design and creation, especially of our bodies.
Now, on the one hand, the theology of the body reminds us that it's good for us to be generous, to be loving, to be self-donatively working for the ultimate good of others. On the other hand, we need to love responsibly, make sure that our efforts to work for another person's good actually produce good fruit. Sometimes we tell ourselves we're being helpful even when the things we're doing are making things worse, or people respond as if we're being intrusive. In those times, it's important to not just keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. It's also important to not just give up, pat ourselves on the back and say, well, I tried.
Yeah, well, yeah. So what's the alternative, you ask? Well, when our efforts don't seem to be especially helpful, we need to step back and pray and be receptive to the ways God might like us to be loving instead of just doing what we've always done. You know, we need to remember that the point of being helpful isn't, of course, just making ourselves feel like at least we've done something. We need to make sure that the help we provide is really producing some kind of positive change. And if it's not, we need to be open to what God might be asking us to do instead. I can't tell you the number of times I talked to a very well-meaning, very well-intentioned client, you know, in the pastoral counseling practice, who, you know, is in a relationship with a difficult person, somebody maybe with an addiction or somebody with some other serious problem, and they keep trying to do this thing because they think that's what God would want them to do, but it's just making the problem worse and it's burning them out and it's not bearing any godly fruit. And in those times, we tend to get mad at God. Well, why did you make me do this thing?
Mm.
When we never have actually stepped back and asked God to teach us how he wants us to respond and to hear him speaking to us through the results of our actions. You know, when we're struggling to know how to help another person, it's a good idea to step back and pray, Lord, teach me how to respond to this person in a way that will help me be my best and will help them help me bring out the best in them. And to keep really reflecting on that and discussing it with others that we respect as mentors until we can get the answers that we need to get and get the results that we're looking for. And that's what we're here to do for you today on More to Life, on our show titled Simon of Cyrene. It's not unusual for us to be in positions where, you know, we have the opportunity to be helpful to someone we care about who we think is struggling with something. And sometimes even our best efforts to be helpful don't really pan out the way we hoped they would. Sometimes the person gets resentful. Other times this makes the situation worse, or it doesn't produce any fruit at all.
Sometimes it drags whole groups of people, friends and family, into the situation, and then everybody's blowing up at each other and taking sides.
And then other times we just get worn out and burned out from the whole experience. So if you find yourself in any of those situations, let's talk it out, and let's explore ways that you can be helpful in ways that are actually helpful, and don't wear you down. 877-573-7825. And again, if you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, send us your questions via email. That address is questions@moretoliferadio.com. With that, let's take our concerns to the Lord We'll start taking your calls. In the name
and
of the
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence wanting to respond to your call to be generous to others, to bear others' burdens so that we can fulfill your law. And yet so often when we try to use the gifts you've given us, our time, our treasure, our talents, ourselves, to be a blessing to others, it doesn't work out like we thought it would. Sometimes people become resentful. Sometimes our efforts make things worse. Sometimes we end up burning out or becoming resentful ourselves. Help us to know how to be helpful in ways that actually are helpful, Lord. Help us to know how to respond to those people in ways that bring out the best in them and in us. Help us to respond to the challenges our loved ones face in ways that help us grow together in you, so that even in the middle of the hardships we experience, we can build your kingdom. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and
in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Simon of Cyrene, and we're talking about that call that we all have as Christians to be there for others, to help support the people we care about who are struggling in some way, and how sometimes it just doesn't work like we thought it would. You know, are you having a hard time knowing how to help someone you care about? Are your efforts to be helpful not working out or making things worse? Or maybe you feel like you're carrying too much of the burden or starting to burn out yourself. Let's explore ways to help others in ways that are both effective and don't wear you down. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, we have a question here from Kathleen through questions@moretoliferadio.com. And she writes, "Hi, my family is trying to help my brother, who is an alcoholic and has a substance abuse problem. He is not seeming at this point to be ready to do this on his own and get help. We're wondering if an intervention by family would be a way to help him most quickly to be ready. We don't want to wait for him to hit rock bottom. Would you please give us pointers on how to go about an intervention if that's the best plan? Like location, who should be at the intervention, and how we could gently broach and word the subject as he may flip into anger when first confronted by this. We want him to get ready as soon as possible for the help he needs before, heaven forbid, he drinks or drugs himself to death. He has been depressed lately, so we are very scared about how much he is turning to the bottle. His girlfriend says that he has been dealing with some unjustified hurts from family members by drinking to oblivion on some nights. Additionally, she emailed a second time and said her father is very reluctant to confront her brother at all. He's always had a preference for the brother, and her father does not like confrontation. Okay. And she would like to know how to deal with it.
All right, Kathleen, thank you so much for the question. So let me just give a little context for why hitting rock bottom can be so important and how interventions work. So the real problem with addictions is that they're a problem for everyone else except the addict, right? As far as the addict is concerned, the addiction is the answer, right? Because I have all these problems that I don't know what to do about, but when I drink or when I drug, I don't have to worry about them so much. And you're coming along and telling me I have to face all that stuff that I don't know how to face. And so that's why you're the problem, right? Not the addiction, as far as I'm concerned, as the addict.
Now, the friends and the family have the sight to see clearly that this person could die at any moment, is losing their family and social connections, possibly jobs, possibly running out of money because they're spending so much of it on their addiction. The sobriety of other people and the distance from the problem makes us say, how can the addict not know there's a problem? We all see it so clearly. But that is not any kind of foresight, is not something that an addict is privy to at all.
Well, no, and again, they really believe they've found the answer. You know, if I just keep drinking and drugging, I don't have to worry about this stuff. And that's preferable to having to handle whatever it is that I don't know how to handle, even if that means me drinking and drugging myself to death. So the idea of hitting rock bottom means that person starts to feel like, oh gosh, the solution, quote unquote, that I've come up with in terms of this addiction really is making my life so much worse, and I need to get help. And an intervention is meant to really help that person hit rock bottom faster. And so this is not something you want to do on your own. This is something you want to contact a local drug and alcohol rehab center and talk with them about scheduling an intervention with somebody who is trained to lead them. And that person will meet with all the people who are going to participate in the intervention and walk you through how that's supposed to work and what's supposed to happen and whatever and the part that everybody needs to play. You also want to time the intervention for a time when that rehab facility has an open bed, because the idea of an intervention is that immediately following the intervention, that person is most vulnerable and most susceptible to, or most willing rather, to go into treatment. Because during the intervention, what happens is that each person describes how the addict's behavior has impacted them and their relationship, and describes, you know, that they want that person to get help, but also describes what will be the consequence if they don't follow through. And so this person is confronted by their boss, by coworkers, by family members, by people that they rely on, and they really are faced with the consequences of their actions, which sort of facilitates a manufactured sense of hitting bottom, and then makes them more likely to go into treatment at that point. So you want to make sure there's a bed available, which is why you want to work with the specific facility to have them do the intervention at a time when there's availability, and, you know, can coach you all through how to do this in a way that would be effective. You don't want to take this on your own.
Very often that person will actually be at the intervention so that, you know, they can facilitate how it goes, keep everybody on the same page, and help the person who's addicted actually transport to the recovery facility.
They'll also coach you on who not to talk about the intervention with. So, for example, it would be great if you know your father could be there to do. But if there's some sense that he would undermine the process, the intervention specialist will walk you through how to avoid, you know, mucking it up ahead of time.
That includes friends who are possibly getting him the drugs that he's, you know, using and things like that. You really need to work with that specialist on this. This is not something that can be done successfully most of the time without an expert there.
Well, it can't be done successfully without the expert there at all, period. So make sure that you're reaching out to your local rehab facilities to find out who's available for that and how it's how to work through that with you. Okay, so thank you so much for the message, Kathleen. If there's more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to here. We've certainly added your brother and your whole family to our More to Life prayer list. And if you do have other questions, don't hesitate to write in at questions@moretoliferadio.com or to call us here live at 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Simon of Cyrene. We're in Holy Week and reflecting on the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Of course, part of that passion was having Simon of Cyrene pressed into service to help carry Jesus' cross as he was on the road to Golgotha. Often, we are asked or presented with the opportunity to be a help to someone who is struggling under the weight of their cross. And sometimes that means taking care of an elderly parent. Sometimes that means, as Kathleen was just writing about, dealing with a relative or friend who is struggling with addiction or some other serious problem. Other times it's just, you know, helping a child who is struggling with test anxiety or to be able to follow through with instructions and they don't know how to succeed at the things they're being asked to do.
Or an older child who's getting ready to launch and isn't launching very well. How do you do that successfully? Whether they're doing it well and they need your help to continue, or they're digging in their heels and not quite launching the way they need to. Whatever you're dealing with, we can help you on
And whatever the nature of the problem is, we often run into points where our efforts to help aren't working out. They're either making things worse, or we're not seeing any fruit at all, or we're burning out in the process, and that's not helpful to anybody.
Maybe we're just scared to try in the beginning, and we need a little push and help with how to do it well.
So whatever the situation is, give us a call. Let us help you find ways to be truly helpful to others that don't wear you down. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions, and we'll also be joined by Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute, who'll be sharing some insights from the Theology of the Body on how we can truly be helpful to others. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
proclaiming the faith, changing lives.
The year was 1999. The shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament of Our Lady of the Angels Monastery in Hansville, Alabama is consecrated. Mother Angelica says, "The happiest day of my life was the day this church was dedicated."
To learn more about Mother Angelica's life and the history of EWTN, visit EWTN.com/Mother Angelica.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Ave Maria Radio invites you to feast on the joy of fasting this Lenten season and all year long. Fast from idle gossip. Feast on purposeful silence. Fast from words that pollute. Feast on words that purify. Fast from discontent. Feast on gratitude. Fasting is a part of true Christian life. It liberates us from this world as we grow closer to Christ.
From Karen Kingsbury Productions comes Someone Like You.
It's a beautiful morning.
I fell in love with London Quinn in high school.
When everything is lost,
I'm so sorry.
Love will lead you home.
You can't bring her back, man.
Do I look like London?
She always wanted me to find someone like you.
Thank God I do.
Someone Like You. This film is not yet rated. In theaters April 2nd. More information is available at someonelikeyou.movie.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Simon of Cyrene, as we talk about, well, this Holy Week, the opportunities we've been given to help people we care about carry their cross. What if our attempts to be helpful aren't working out the way we planned, or are causing us to be burned out or resentful? Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Bill Donahue from the Theology of the Body Institute. Bill, welcome to More to Life.
Good morning. Good morning to you both, and happy Holy Week.
Thank you.
And you wanted to share some insights from the life of St. John Paul on how we can be present to others and what it really means to be helpful in these kinds of situations.
Yeah, immediately with your topic today, it took me back to his experiences when he was a very young priest, and he was a chaplain, actually, at a university back in the early 1950s. He formed a small group called the Środowisko, which is Polish for environment. And it just became such a phenomenal, flourishing group of people. And we have accounts of attendees of this group, these young people. And I just wanted to share a quick story from one of them. This man's name is Gabriel Tarowski. So they live just outside of Krakow. And he says, "Father Karol Wojtyła, the future John Paul II, was a point of support for us. Not only did he find rest in a circle of friends, right, for his own self and his young priesthood, but rather to show us God through word, prayer, through the example of a spiritual father. He taught us without taking lessons or courses. He showed us the beauty of the landscape as a work made by God. He taught us to love our homeland, to take care of its future. And he emphasized the knowledge of history." So he was constantly concerned for them. He worried about them. He carried them in his heart. They actually talked about them being staggered at the fact that he could remember all of their family members, those who were sick or on travels, and always have something to say to each of them about their families. And it really moved them.
You know, one of the things that strikes me about what you were just sharing, though, is that he was very particular about how the way he helped. Father Wojtyła, who became St. John Paul, was very particular about the way he helped. He didn't just do sort of abstract, helpful things. He actually was present to the particular person he was working with and trying to identify what could I do or say that would invite them to be their best self. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it was... What moved the people is that it wasn't just saying Mass or giving a homily. Another attendee, Teresa, says he was a central figure in hiking, entertainment, cinema, also mass retreats and spiritual conferences. He was like a father or a mother to us. He made an atmosphere, she says, of absolute sincerity, openness, and we confided our personal matters to him at every stage of our life. I think that's showing us that the future John Paul II was all in. He wasn't just performing a service or a duty, but becoming familial with them as a young priest and saying, I'm for you 24/7. And I think that's just really inspiring.
And not treating them like a project, too, because I think that sometimes we can fall into that temptation of in our attempts to help the other person, we turn them into a project instead of really relating to them as a person who has needs and who is struggling to find healthy ways to meet them. Bill, I want to thank you for those insights and for sharing those little vignettes from the life of St. John Paul as an inspiration to all of us to be present to the people that we care about and really identify ways to be helpful that are actually bringing out the best in them. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, where can they turn for more information?
Sure, tobinstitute.org for our conferences and talks. Thank you so much.
tobinstitute.org. Check it out. They've got a lot of in-person and online courses to help you unpack the wisdom of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships. tobinstitute.org. And we are taking your calls right here and now on our show titled Simon of Cyrene. This Holy Week, we're reflecting on those times when we're struggling to help someone carry their cross, whether it's a little cross, like we're helping a kid who's struggling with some anxiety or following through with something, or a younger adult launching, or we're talking about a more serious situation where you're helping an elderly infirm parent or a friend or loved one who's struggling with an addiction. It's hard to know how to be helpful in ways that are actually helpful. Let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825.
The Word became flesh to redeem us from our sinful state, the Catechism tells us, and reconcile us to God. We lived in darkness and needed a great light. We were prisoners and we needed to be freed. In such a miserable state, we needed a divine human mediator to descend from heaven. Through Jesus' suffering and death, we learned how much God loved us. For divinity to descend to humanity, and humanity in the poorest circumstances, demanded great love and great sacrifice and great humility. It also gave us a great role model whom we could and should imitate on our life's journey. Jesus is the embodiment of the Beatitudes and the norm of the new law. He commanded us to love one another as I have loved you. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo.
I tell oftentimes an experience that I had at Divine Child when I was a young priest, 1 year ordained. First time I ever really saw the power of the Blessed Sacrament. And we simply exposed the Blessed Sacrament at the end of Mass one night. I encouraged people. I said, you know what, we've been in the habit of praying over people after Mass. I said, we're not going to do that this week. I'm just going to invite people to come on up and pray if they want to pray. And I put the Blessed Sacrament on the altar. I kneeled down. As I kneeled down, the church is in the sanctuary, the whole church. And as I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at the people there, and I'm looking at Jesus under the appearance of bread there, I saw the Lord standing on the altar, and he's just standing there looking out at all the people. And then at a certain point, he turned towards me, and he just bowed, and he says, "Don't you see how easy this is? You don't have to do anything. You just have to put me out. You put me out, and I will work."
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Men in general, and fathers in particular, put a tremendous amount of pressure on ourselves. We know that we're meant to lead our wife and children to God. However, many of us weren't raised in homes where this mission was modeled for us. We intuitively know we don't have the first idea how to become the men God wants us to be or how to lead our families to Christ, and it terrifies us. Unfortunately, we often try to cover our ignorance and the fear of our incompetence by setting ourselves up as angry, part-time pagan deities of our household, commanding obedience from everyone around us. But if we fall prey to this temptation, Any rebellion we experience on the part of our kids isn't defiance against us. It's actually obedience to the impulse God has created in every one of his children to resist bowing down to any god but him. To learn more about commanding healthy authority as a father, check out my book, Be Dadattitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Simon of Cyrene, as we talk about the challenges we often face in helping the people we care about carry their cross. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Anna, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Anna. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Okay. So I was telling the screener that I'm direct caregiver for my sister, who's 1 year younger than I am. And she lives with me because she's unable to live by herself. She has schizophrenia, severe bipolar, and has shown... cognitive declined. I had her tested last year, and this year she's just, I didn't notice right away because I lost my husband in December. And so, who didn't live with me, he lived in a facility because he had FTD. So I am struggling because I'm seeing that she's no longer able to care for herself, you know, bodily care, you know, the bathing,
sure.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
so
understand.
More and more this past week, things came up. She didn't tell me when she's sick. Took her in. Long story short is I'm wondering if it's my other siblings don't help me out, and I hate to say this, but they
And you
don't.
Were sharing with the screener that you were wondering how you could help her or who will take care of her if you can't anymore. And so let's speak to that, because that's a really important thing. First of all, I want to thank you for your beautiful heart, for being willing to care for your sister, dealing with a loved one who's struggling with schizophrenia and severe bipolar disorder is very challenging. And the fact that you've been willing to take that on in spite of the other losses you've experienced, it really speaks to what a beautiful and servant's heart you have. And I also want to extend our condolences for the loss of your husband. I understand that there were lots of circumstances around that, but it's still difficult to lose someone you've cared about. So in terms of this, you want to make sure that she is under the care of a psychiatrist, because you can talk with a psychiatrist about getting additional support, including a referral to a home health agency, which really should be part of this process. I don't know how old she is. So
she said she was a year younger than her. So
right, but I don't know Anna's age either. So yeah. so if you know. She might have a Social Security disability, or she might have Medicaid, but either way, they cover home health care for these kinds of diagnoses, and you should be able to have someone who can come in and help with bathing and help with other activities of daily living and giving you respite support and those kinds of services as well. So you want to either reach out yourself to a home health agency, but they'll need a doctor's order to come in. So if your sister is under the care of a psychiatrist, that psychiatrist can make that happen. When you make that happen, and I really encourage you to do that sooner than later, they also offer medical social work services where you can speak to the social worker who's attached to the home health agency, who will do a home visit and make recommendations for local facilities that would be able to take your sister if it comes to the situation where you're no longer able to care for her, whether that's assisted living or community house that cares for these for folks who are struggling with these diagnoses or a more permanent partial hospital situation. You know, there are lots of options that are available depending on where you are, but your local home health agency would be the point of contact that would help you figure that out and come up with a long-term care plan. So speak with your sister's psychiatrist first. If she doesn't have one, make sure that she's connected with somebody who's getting her that medication and monitoring her medication. Get a referral to a home health agency, then speak with their medical social worker to identify a long-term plan of care for your sister, as well as providing, you know, services like, you know, assistance with bathing her, assisting with the activities of daily living, and also, like I said, the consult with the medical social worker to identify places for long-term care. Anna, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us. We've added you and your sister to our More to Life prayer list, and thank you for being willing to step into the breach to provide that care for your sister who's struggling so mightily. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. We're talking today about the call to be helpful to others. And, you know, we want to be there to support the people we care about, especially when they're struggling. But sometimes our efforts to help aren't terrifically helpful. Sometimes we don't know how to even begin to be helpful. Sometimes our efforts to make things better actually blow up in our face or make things worse. It's complicated. So let's talk about how to be helpful in ways that are helpful and don't wear you down. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Allison, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, Allison. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Good morning. We have two little grandsons, 7 and 9, and I have felt concerned about the parents working a lot and then having a lot of social life with their friends, so that the boys seem to be lonely. The things they'll say to us when they come up are the things... the 7-year-old sucks the thumb and hides a lot, and the 9-year-old, I never see them smile or laugh. And they're just the two of them.
And you said that a 9-year-old is acting out in school, too, now?
Everywhere. Bus, school, and the 7-year-old told us this. And he said he had to plug his ears because there's so much fighting in the home with Thomas and his parents. And he's 9.
How have you tried to address this with, and this is your son's children or your daughter's children? Who what's your relationship here? I know you're the grandmother, but...
He doesn't take advice from his mother, and so I've asked Tom to talk to him, and I've asked my...
I don't know who Tom is.
Is Tom your husband?
My husband.
Okay.
And his father. Mm-hmm. And I've asked...
Has your husband spoken with your son?
No, he doesn't address things. His father didn't. They're very silent people, and Tom doesn't. He's following a pattern that was in the family.
What kind of relationship do you have with your daughter-in-law?
Good. And my son-in-law's also. And I've asked them all to address it, but my daughters say, no, it's none of our business. We're not there.
Oh, no, it is. No, absolutely. You have children suffering, and it's absolutely the adult's business to step in. So if your son won't take advice from you, then you need to talk to your daughter-in-law.
Gently, lovingly, and very supportively. It's what do you need? It sounds like you're really overwhelmed. It sounds like the kids are struggling a bit.
Well, you know, the grandkids are telling me that they're struggling with this. They're struggling. And don't say, you know, the kids are telling me about you, okay? It's not, you know, my grandson is saying that you guys are bad parents, so you're not taking care of them or you're fighting all the time. Don't take that approach. But I'm seeing the grandkids struggling, and I really want to be able to be helpful. You know, they shared some things that they're having a hard time with. I don't know if you were aware. What can I do? Right? You know, how can I support you in addressing those things? How can I be help to them? When they're here, you know, really, and also being ready with some suggestions for local marriage and family counseling, because it sounds like they need real help in learning how to be caregiving to their children. When they're visiting with you, don't make the thumb sucking an issue, because that's an attempt at self-regulation. What that means is the child needs more affection. So, you know, ramp up grandmotherly affection. In your lap, you know, just cuddling with him,
playing with him, giving him somebody to feel safe around and loved by.
With the 9-year-old, but with both of them, really, you know, when they come over, make sure that you have, you don't just have free play, because they're not going to be having poor self-regulation and poor self-control. They're not going to do well with free play. So make sure that you're having something a little more structured, a game that you can play with them together.
Baking to cookies or something together that you can all do together, and you can tell them, okay, now you're going to crack the eggs in here. Now we're going to stir this step by step. The more engaged you are with the supervision and making it pleasant, the better it will be for him, not only in that moment, but in the long run.
So, you know, those are important things. I would also say, Allison, you know, as grandparents, sometimes the best thing we can do is model a healthier life as well. And it sounds to me like, from what you've shared, your husband isn't just conflict avoidant. He's not terrifically responsive to you and your needs and your concerns. And maybe this is an invitation for you to lead the way in showing your kids how to get help by seeking help yourself for your marriage and for your family relationships. Because, you know, it's the chaos that you're seeing in your children's lives is the direct fruit of how we kind of modeled marriage and family life ourselves. And so by you taking that initiative to get help for a stronger marriage and family life yourself, will be the best witness to your son and daughter-in-law.
I truly hear what you're saying, Allison, that this is generational for your husband and now for your son. But as his wife, you are put on this earth and put in this marriage to help him heal and help him to recover from those old wounds and become everything he's supposed to be as a man of God. And it's never too late to really do that. So if you're seeing, hey, you know, this is bearing bad fruit in both our the lives of our son, our grandchildren, and in our marriage, because you're just not feeling taken seriously or supported in seeing this concern, and I assume in many other ways, as you've described the situation and your husband's inheritance of his emotional patterns in his life, that it's a good and right thing to be able to say to him, you know, this is not okay. And I want a closer marriage. I want you to be able to heal from this and feel comfortable with your emotions and to be the best husband, father, grandfather, and man of God that you can be. And so I've reached out and made an appointment with a marriage-friendly therapist who can really help us to untie some of these knots and be better as a couple and as a family.
So, Allison, those are some suggestions for how to deal directly with your grandchildren. About the conversation you need to have with your daughter-in-law to make her aware and how to do that, and also to lead the way by getting the help that you need to model a stronger, healthier relationship. And if we can help you find faithful ways to do any of that, please don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We can connect you with one of our faithful Catholic counselors who can really help you find faithful ways to respond to the challenges that you're experiencing on every level of this difficult situation. And we've added you and your family to our More to Life prayer list as well. We're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. And this Holy Week, we are reflecting on Simon of Cyrene. And today on the show, we're talking about the call we all have to help other people carry their cross, but the challenges that sometimes come along with that. Challenges in terms of, I don't know how to bring this thing up in the first place, to I'm not sure how to be helpful, to I've tried to be helpful and it's blown up in my face, to it's made things worse, or I'm handling it but it's burning me out and making me resentful. How can we be helpful in ways that are actually helpful and in ways that don't burn us out? Give us a call, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. By the way, EWTN offers a lot of great resources, including coming up this week, The Way of the Cross from the Archdiocese of Denver on Good Friday at 11 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. For a complete list of EWTN's Holy Week and Easter programming, go to EWTN.com/radio and click on Schedule. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Galatians chapter 6, verse 2.
Bear one another's burdens, for in doing so, you will fulfill the law of Christ.
You know, this scripture from St. Paul reminds us, again, of the importance of helping to carry each other's crosses. But how we do that matters. And making sure that we're doing that in ways that bring out the best in the other person and help us be our best is really important. Not just a matter of going through the motions and saying, well, I did something. So let's talk about what that would look like in your situation. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions about helping other people in helpful ways when we come back after this break.
Church Pop takes a fresh and fun look at the news shaping our world, featuring engaging, inspiring, and informative Catholic social media content. Find it on Snapchat, Instagram, and on the web at churchpop.com. And you can get Church Pop emailed directly to your inbox. Visit EWTN.com and click subscribe. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomio.
Do you know what your diocese, what your church, what your parish is doing to help families in need? Women who feel they're in a desperate situation and for whatever reason, God forbid, may consider abortion. This is not difficult. The information is out there. We have to become more aware and we have to be willing to not only know about what's available, but to do something about the issues. It's not just up to quote unquote the church. We're all part of the church and we're all called to put our faith into action, or else we will be guilty of having a dead faith, as St. James reminds us. So first things, be aware and then be willing to do something.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomio, weekdays 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today our show is titled Simon of Cyrene, as we reflect this Holy Week on the call to help the people we care about carry their cross. Sometimes it's challenging. And if you're struggling to know how to help someone you care about carry their cross, let us help ease your burden. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Steve, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Connecticut.
Hi, Steve. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Good morning. Well, I wanted to discuss the situation with my son. My wife and I took him in. He was abused by his mother and his father was in prison. And so we went through the legal procedures to take him in, and it's worked very well, with the exception that he's seems to work out the frustrations and anger he had for his abusive mother on my wife, and I'm the hero.
Now, Steve, let me just pause here. I'm just trying to get all my ducks in a row with this picture. So are you biologically related to this young man, or are you his foster or adoptive parents?
We're not biologically related.
Okay, so how long has he been with you?
He's been with us. He's now 20, and he came at 7 years.
Okay. So is he your adopted son then?
Yes. We have, it's custodial rights, but it's essentially
okay. Okay. I understand. All right.
All right.
So, thank you.
Thank
you.
That helps a lot. Yeah.
So what's going on now, and how can we help you?
Well, he gives my wife a hard time. He's 20. He's living with us because, of course, he can't afford to be on his own. And he is critical of her or uncooperative with her. And I think sometimes my wife is too, treats him, she doesn't recognize the fact that he's a man, and she's too...
Too soft? Too indulgent?
too difficult with him, too demanding, that in a way that she would if he were 14 or 15. And
So when you say when it's too demanding, give me an example of what she might expect from him that you feel is too demanding.
Well, that he straighten his room, or that he comes in at exactly the time she has told him to come in at night, or...
Okay. And what kind of help are you guys getting? Because this is a difficult situation for anyone to deal with. What kind of professional help have you been getting either recently or in the past?
Have any professional help? It's gone very well with me. He is very fond of me, and he expresses that. But it's really the issue with my wife that is the problem.
Well, it's a complicated situation, right? It's because you're describing a young man who came to you when he was seven, who was being abused by his mother and father. And even though, you know, you have custodial rights, you know, there's some impermanence there. There's a sense that, you know, where he's struggling with attachment things, right? And also, you know, he's having a hard time with your wife. And so I really do think this is one of those situations where you're wanting to get family therapy for the three of you to really help figure out the best way to help him launch, what it means for him to be a productive member of your household while he's staying with you. What it would mean for him to develop steps toward greater independence. You know, you and your wife are having a hard time knowing how best to support him. And in those times, you know, it can really take a toll on the marriage as well as on the family, and can also prevent him from launching altogether. Because I'll tell you this, you know, when kids struggle to launch, a big part of that reason is because there's a part of them that is wounded from their childhood that says, you know, if I can just stay here long enough, that childhood wound will get mended. And so you end up with a kid who's now 40 and 50 years old still living at home because that wound was never healed. And so unless you're getting professional help to figure out how to heal that wound and help him launch, this problem is not going away anytime soon.
Now, let me be very clear. I mean, he is 20, but it would be much better, much healthier for all of you for this to be family therapy. I don't want you to say to your wife, this is what the pop check said, and then you just send him off for counseling. Because there's a lot of restructuring in a house as you have a young adult in the house, as opposed to a teenager or a child. And that would be the case even if he wasn't dealing with the first 7 years of his life being traumatic. Moving from parenting a child that you say, okay, this is what you're going to do, to, you know, helping an adult child be an adult in the home and responsible and caring for the people he's living with and all of those things can be a difficult transition, especially on the mom. So all in all, the three of you working together with a professional to heal the old wounds and come up with new patterns in the household are looking extremely beneficial.
And that's really the next step, because anything we could say to you to tell your wife would just kind of bounce right off of her, because I imagine you've said all those things already. So now's the time to get real help. And if there's more we can do to support you in that, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. With that, let's take one more call before we're out of here. Who's up next?
We're talking with Robin, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Iowa.
Robin, welcome to More to Life. What's your question?
Well, I just need to know how to handle, for many years, I've helped my sister and her son and monetarily, and now my brother, he wants to borrow my truck, and I just feel like I'm an ATM machine or some kind of whatever they need, they think they can get. And our finances are now getting really strained. We bought a house.
And what's stopping you from what's stopping you from saying no or setting boundaries with these requests?
Guilt and, you know.
Okay. Well, let's talk about this, because I'm jumping in just because we have about 90 seconds before they play us out. So I want to. So, you know, when we won't, St. John Paul wrote a book called Love and Responsibility. Okay, and he talked about those being the two kind of core qualities of Christian discipleship: love and responsibility. Love means working for the good of another person, right? And responsibility refers to our ability to respond in ways that actually work for the good of another person, right? And so sometimes we can be generous in ways that aren't actually working for the good of another person. We're being generous for generosity's sake, but we're not really reflecting on the impact that our generosity is having. So if I'm being generous, for example, to an alcoholic, I might be enabling that alcoholic to actually get sicker, right? If I'm being generous to somebody who isn't taking responsibility for their life, I might be enabling them in their sin and their irresponsible behavior. So, you know, I have to make sure that my attempts to be generous are actually helping the other person thrive and flourish. So we want to make sure that whatever you service you provide or whatever, you know, charity you give or whatever help you offer is actually helping your family grow and address the problems that they are needing to address. You know, so for example, you know, you say that they're coming to you for money instead of trying to figure out their problems. It's okay to say, well, I'm absolutely happy to help you. Let's come up with a budget to make this work, and I can help you out this month, but then let's figure out how you can take care of this next month yourself, or whatever the situation is. You're offering help in a way that actually enables them to grow. If they say, no, thank you very much, I just want the check, then you can say no without feeling guilty, because obviously they don't need that. They don't need the support in that way. But you have an obligation to not just be generous, but to be generous in ways that actually produce fruit. And to not do that is really to end up falling into kind of the sin of sloth, where we're not addressing a problem in a way that is actually productive. Sloth isn't the sin of being lazy. It's the sin of not addressing a problem when we have something that we could do about it. All right, so really take a look at my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It'll offer some additional suggestions for setting healthy, godly boundaries here that will encourage your family to grow and flourish, in addition to receiving the support from them, or from you, excuse me. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.